The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Most sectors seem to be struggling to fill positions, but families who avail of disability services are feeling this even more. One special education school in Dublin has informed parents that supports are to be reduced. Why? Because of staffing problems. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been speaking with families affected and has been looking at the wider issue of staffing Section 39 organisations. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pat.
What kind of services are we talking about here?
So this school, it's certainly not an outlier when it comes to having challenges recruiting and retaining specialised staff, but parents and guardians of children attending the Enable Ireland Sandymount School were informed at the end of last month that due to changes in staffing levels, the capacity to provide occupational therapy, speech and language therapy and physiotherapy was going to be significantly reduced from June. Now, understandably, look, parents are highly stressed with this news. Yeah. For some, they're losing out on much needed appointments. Then there are others who've been waiting for equipment, but this is leading to delays. In one case, I was told a pram styled wheelchair has arrived, but it cannot be signed over because the child no longer has an occupational therapist to do the final checks. There's another situation where a child's new respite centre may not be able to take her now because they've no letter from her most recent therapist confirming her needs. So that family doesn't know what way to turn. Let's hear from one of the parents themselves I was speaking with. I visited Cathy Sweetman Healy's home, which is not too far from the school. Cathy's 17-year-old daughter, Orla Healy, goes to the school, and I met Orla in the home, and her mom explains she had scoliosis surgery in 2022 and is currently recovering from hip and knee repair surgery.
Because she's post-surgeries, she needs regular input and appointments to see how things are progressing in her recovery. And with the departure of her physio and the imminent departure of her OT, that's going to be put on a priority basis. But it's very stressful for the family because she needs the dignity of having a service that is capable of catering for her needs. I mean, we live in a Western society that we were supposed to be able to cater for and look after the very vulnerable, and Orla and her cohort would fit into that because she depends on us to get the services that she needs, and they're not there at the moment.
And I'm sure Orla would have built up a relationship with her therapists.
Yeah.
And there was that connection and sense of trust and a sense of friendship even.
Yeah, I mean, the two girls were great. Her physio was her key worker. And she's been out of the house. She's almost like a best pal.
So where does that leave you now in terms of your options?
Well, we've been told that there is an email that you can contact, and depending on how serious the level of need is, it'll be prioritised. But I'm not terribly optimistic. We'd probably have to go to A&E if something really bad, or revert to her orthopaedic surgeon in Crumlin.
That's not regular.
No, but I mean, we don't have a regular OT or physio until they get one recruited.
I suppose now you're just in limbo, really, until the next school year until you hear anything.
We've been told that there was one or two being recruited. I mean, recruited and training, and then this Garda vetting. So it might be September by the time we get another name.
The organisation is trying their best to recruit staff. The workers are advancing their own careers, looking for greater salaries. So who do you want to be accountable for your daughter missing out on a service she deserves?
Well, the government, because they have systematically stripped away services for children and adults of disabilities because they don't have a voice. It doesn't win votes, so it's not a number one priority for the government. That would be my humble opinion.
And that's Cathy Sweetman Healy, a parent of a child who attends the Enable Ireland Sandymount School. So, Josh, what is Enable Ireland saying about the changes in the service provided?
Well, look, it can't be said that Enable Ireland is not trying to fill these posts through several recruitment campaigns. It's offered relocation packages for international candidates and long service awards. But the charity says it's just an uphill battle trying to retain staff. This is mainly due to the pay disparity that Section 39 workers experience compared to their colleagues working in the public sector. Now, we know back in October there was a full-on strike planned on this very issue. I did a report on your programme about it. That was narrowly called off. The parties involved are due with the Workplace Relations Commission again on this matter in just over a week's time. But speaking with different organisations working outside the HSE, providing care and support for the most vulnerable, it really is a revolving door when it comes to staff. Enable Ireland says it has 20 children teams across the country and only one is fully staffed. staffed. The national average on vacancy on the other teams is 34%, with the eastern region of the country worst affected. I spoke with the HR director with Enable Ireland, Theresa Compagno, about this. And just listen to what she says at the very start about retaining staff. It's a truly staggering figure and shows what they're up against.
From January this year, we would have recruited 142 people into the company. And at the same time, we would have had in or around 94 resignations. So that will tell you how recruitment is working. Over 60% of our clinicians would have less than 2 years service with us, and they leave because they can. So for example, for speech and language therapists, we'd have a very high rate of movement, about 28%. OTs and physios would be similar, up in the 20% mark. The top reasons for leaving are number one, pay parity. Number two, career advancement. And then number three, location or immigration, particularly for the younger graduates.
And how does this affect the supports then on the ground?
The sad truth, Josh, would be that the children and adults who use Enable Ireland services are not getting the service that we would like them to get for them and their family. To date, we haven't closed any services and we are doing our very best to avoid that, but we are struggling to keep our services going. And we know, of course, it's not unique to Enable Ireland. I think the big issue, and everybody knows and the public know and our staff know so well, that until we reach pay parity with the people we're working with, we are on a hiding to nothing here. So, for example, a lot of Enable Ireland staff would be working with our colleagues with the same child in the same room, who their colleagues being employed from HSE. Right now, today, if you were walking into Enable Ireland as a senior therapist, your colleague in the same room from the HSE would be earning 5.3% of his salary more than you.
And is there any plan in place with the HSE or the department, I suppose, when you reach a certain threshold that services cannot be fulfilled?
So we would have to make that call based on the clinical judgment of our team manager, advised by the clinicians, as to what might no longer be safe practice. So rather than practicing unsafely, what you do, you keep the waiting list either not moving or increasing. At some point then, somebody has to make a decision that you can't fulfill the contract that's offered to you by the HSE to provide that service. So sustainability is going to be a problem going forward if we don't change this.
That's the HR director with Enable Ireland, Theresa Compagno. Now, the organisations are stuck in a difficult position. There are so many opportunities there for young graduates at the moment. So what's the government saying?
Well, as I mentioned, groups will return to the WRC on the 24th of June. Those affected hope that something concrete will come out of these meetings. Officials have been in contact with the unions representing the workers over the past few months, and they're looking through the data that's been collected by the HSE in terms of the cost of the claim being put forward by the unions. That's being reviewed. Now, I did go down to Leinster House to meet with Minister of State for Disability, Anne Rabbitt, to ask her about this very issue. And to be fair, she's fully behind those working outside the HSE being equally paid. Minister Rabbitt also says the workers who return from abroad should be getting better recognition.
I'm delighted that they're back in the WRC for the simple reason when it was negotiated last year, there's no doubt we left a cohort of workers behind us. While they talked about that there was a gap there of 1.5% to have in full restoration, that's not the reality on the ground. The reality on the ground is that the healthcare assistance was way wider than that. It was 7%, 8%, and 9% of a gap. The good thing about last year's negotiations that was also ironed out, part and parcel of it was alignment to what was the Section 38s or what was the HSEs. So that wording of aligning to me is very, very important. So I'm delighted that they're back in.
Organisations such as Enable Ireland, they're fearful that there'll be a greater division now with attracting staff in due to the proposed pay increases for public sector workers. So is there any reassurances there you could give so that there's not a widening of the gap?
And I go back to it again, and that's it's why it's important that it's understood that alignment of pay is really, really important. But it's also important to have the employer in the room. The last time when all of this was being discussed, it was unions that were in the room. We need actually to have the employers in the room who are advocating, who understand actually what the gaps are and how important alignment is. And whether a child is attending a 38, a 39 or a HSE, the care and the standard and the governance should be the same. So we'd expect the same from all staff. So we should be looking after all staff equally.
And there are parents telling me now that their children are missing out on speech and language therapy, physiotherapy, occupational therapy. What are you doing now to ease the pressure on these families?
So first and foremost, it's important to realise that we don't have an embargo on disability in recruitment. We have a derogation from the HSE to be able to recruit into our Section 39s or 38s or HSE. And we ran a very successful campaign just after Christmas. 495 people applied for the jobs, of which they completed the interviews of 161, which will be deployed into our various CD&T teams around the country.
And something else that will be lingering over families' minds over the summer now is the uncertainty around school bus places. Now, I know this is something you've worked on before and you've been vocal on. Is it possible to ring fence places for special education?
Look, every child has the right to attend education. We provide school transport, by and large, for the majority of the children nationally. Children attending special education should be no different. There should be ring fencing, whatever method it is required, that children should be able to attend their school of their choice or the school that meets their needs.
And that's Minister of State at the Department of Disability, Anne Rabbitt. The question of these Section 38, Section 39 organisations, you know, which were effectively charities and then the state buys services from them. I mean, it's mad that you've got parallel universes in the HSE. And should they not all be under the one umbrella, you wonder? Anyway, the workers themselves, how do they feel about all of this?
Well, no one's blaming the workers, Pat. Like, even the parents I've been speaking with who are affected by these staff shortages, they say they feel sorry for the staff. And to be honest, when I was in hospital myself back in March, you can't say enough about the efforts they put in and how stretched healthcare staff are. They're trying to do everything. Now, one thing I found through a parliamentary question, which was put to Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly in April, is that over a few weeks in the spring, the HSE issued templates to over 1,130 Section 39 funded organisations.
Sorry, say that again. 1,130 Section 39 organisations.
This is through a parliamentary question.
This is crazy stuff. So why are we have so many?
I suppose there's many needs out there. But look, they sent out these templates to the organisations to allow them to claim the full amounts of funding due to their employees. And after a number of weeks, just 165 organisations had replied. Now, I followed up with the HSE to get a more up-to-date figure on this, but I also spoke with Force of Trade Union spokesperson Niall Shanahan, who starts off by telling me that there have been some delays with organisations receiving the initial pay restoration.
There has been some delay, particularly with some employers, because they haven't filled in the necessary paperwork. And I believe that's an ongoing situation for some of our members working in the sector. And then with the most recent national pay deal, which was agreed in January and ratified in March, there is a process now underway in order to re-establish the link between staff in these agencies and public services. Now, we're a long way from that link being re-established, but a process has commenced and the parties are back in the WRC later this month.
But it's not just entirely pay, is it? Because not every organisation is having the same level of turnover of staff.
No, I mean, the average across the sector, based on our research, which is a few years old now, it's about 30% per year. Now, that's almost a third of the workforce. That's a huge churn. There are other factors in play. So if we look at the areas that were identified in the correspondence that you mentioned, what the sector is relying on is new graduates. But what's the biggest challenge facing any young worker at the moment? It's finding appropriate housing. Not being able to secure accommodation that's proximate to the place where a person is employed means that often as not they're inclined to turn the job down. So housing underpins the staff shortage, but the pay issue is the longest running, I suppose, issue within this sector.
And strike action was avoided last autumn in October, but there are fears that the pay parity might not exactly balance up now. Is strike action something that would be considered if your demands aren't met?
Well, it's more that the process that we're currently engaged with at the WRC would realign those pay scales so that that doesn't become an issue, so that within the lifetime of the current public service agreement, we see that realignment.
So all is yet to be seen what comes out of these meetings.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, we're back in the Workplace Relations Commission and the unions are certainly very focused on having that link to public service pay realigned.
And that's Niall Shanahan from the Forza Trade Union. And we'll keep you informed about what happens when the issue returns to the Workplace Relations Commission on the 24th of June.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.